By the way, the Vietnam Caucus welcomes any members. All you have to do is give your name, address, email, and phone number. We don't ask any money, but simply suggestions for future presentations. Like Barry Levy, I published a number of articles, books, but I do not believe I have any personal financial relations relevant to this presentation during the past 12 months. Okay, what I'd like to do is briefly review some of the interest in the United States and Vietnam over toxic chemicals, and thinking of the spraying of Agent Orange and other herbicides from 1962 to 70 to 20 to 1971, and now going on, looking at Agent Orange, the dioxin cleanup, now going on in Vietnam, and electronic waste recycling. Okay, we've all seen pictures of, probably from the same site, of fixed-wing aircraft spraying and helicopter spraying, naval vessel spraying, and I'm not sure what this big heavy-duty helicopter is doing, but it was a pretty picture. Anyway, let's remind ourselves, Agent Orange and the other herbicides were sprayed only in the south of Vietnam, what was then South Vietnam. The herbicides were not sprayed in the north. They were in certain discrete locations, and the purpose was to defoliate jungles so troops who were considered enemy to the United States or the South Vietnam government could not hide, and to destroy crops, which brings us to the point made earlier about civilian damage. So we had two problems. And of course, Agent Orange is not orange. The barrels containing it had some orange stripes, and that's where the name came from. And again, just the basics, again, Agent Orange, half 2,4-D herbicide and half 2,4-5-T herbicide. The 2,4-5-T was contaminated with TCDD, the most toxic of the 75 chlorinated dioxins which exist. There are also brominated dioxins, there are also chlorobromodioxins, but Agent Orange was characterized by contamination with TCDD, tetrachlorobenzodioxin, the most toxic. In the early 1970s, Bob Balkman at Harvard Medical School and his advisor, Matt Nesselson, published findings of very high levels of TCDD in Vietnamese mother's milk. They chose women living in Agent Orange sprayed areas, and this was, I believe, the first time dioxins had ever been measured in humans. So this was the first biomonitoring of dioxins. They also measured in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and could not detect any TCDD in nursing mothers in Cambridge, Massachusetts. But the levels of detection were not very good then. We now know that just about everyone measured has various dioxins in their bodies. During the 1970s to 2000 in Vietnam, elevated TCDD was found in humans, food, soil, and wildlife in a pattern characteristic of elevation of dioxin from Agent Orange. Vietnamese reported birth defects and cancer due to Agent Orange. The U.S. government and industry, especially the CEO of Dow not too long ago, was still extremely dubious of these claims and felt there were no human health effects except the temporary rash, which we now know is not correct. And certainly many of the malformations may have had no relation to dioxin. Some may not have been related. Okay. Dioxin contamination in Vietnam. To summarize it quickly, U.S. Air Force Agent Orange sprayer's blood, which just described, and strike that there were in fact 400 of the agent of the ranch hand units veterans who had elevated TCDD out of about 1,200. So the majority of the people working that unit did not have elevated TCDD, but some had rather elevated levels, substantially in some cases, 400 out of about 1,200. And that's one dioxin only TCDD, which was what was originally measured in the ranch hand studies, not the others which exist. Southern Vietnamese people were then found in this period of time to have elevated levels. We started our project in 84 in Vietnam and have continued up to the present time. Some food in southern Vietnam was very contaminated with TCDD, the dioxin of Agent Orange. Soil and sediment, now called dioxin hotspots in some areas where there's really high levels of TCDD, and this has been found primarily where Agent Orange was stored, but also in some other places. But the idea of a hotspot with particularly high levels has gained considerable interest in Vietnam and the United States. Okay, as you'll learn with more authority by Richard Clapp, we now know that health conditions related to TCDD in humans include cancer, cancer mortality, immune deficiencies, endocrine disruptions, possibly type 2 diabetes, hyperthyroidism, nervous system disorders, both the brain and the central nervous system. Cognitive and emotional problems have been observed associated with this, and in animals definitely caused by TCDD. Reproductive and developmental system disorders, both the mother can have problems and the from intrauterine to perinatal exposure can cause problems in the children. Increased risk of myocardial infarctions and death, relatively new findings associated with dioxins, skin rashes, skin diseases, chloracne is simply acne caused by chlorinated organic chemicals. This is found at high doses only, and there's a huge variation in the sensitivity. If you go to Google and ask for Agent Orange, you get this and other pictures of supposed congenital malformations, thyroid problems with the bulging eyes, and skull damage. But while these are shown to probably every reporter who goes to Vietnam, there's no solid evidence that these kids or others who are shown have a causal relation with Agent Orange and dioxin. This is one of the things that's being done now. Vietnam is trying to clean up with U.S. and NGO money certain hotspots. This is not cleaning up the hotspot. This is doing what has to come first, clearing unexploded ordnance before the dioxin remediation or cleanup. So they're looking for the bombs that were still there and still, in many cases, active. This period two, as I've been calling it, U.S. and Vietnam are cleaning up hotspots. Da Nang Air Base, Binh Dinh Air Base, Phucat Air Bases are considered hotspots, dioxin hotspots. Da Nang airfield soil and sediment is being excavated and closed, insulated, and treated by months in sort of medium temperature heat to destroy dioxins. Remediation process is to be monitored closely to determine if it's effective and not too expensive, because it is very expensive. And this is a picture of either policeman or soldier guarding the Da Nang Air Base. On the left and on the right, we see a ceremony where, interestingly enough, the Vietnamese officials are taking snapshots as though they were Japanese tourists or American tourists, and people were dressed in colorful costumes at the ceremony. The remediation starts with people preparing to heavy containment structure, and then the current status, which Susan Hammond will probably update us more than anyone else in this room, is slowly moving forward to clean up soil and sediment. USAID publishes online frequent summaries, and they believed from the last one that I opened 90% of the containment structure at Da Nang Airport is filled with dioxin-contaminated soil or sediment. They describe soil sampling showing successful excavation, getting rid of the moving the contaminated soil to an area where it can be cleaned up. But the post-remediation levels of dioxin are not yet available to the best of my knowledge, so we don't know how effective this is. We know it is expensive, but not as expensive as very high temperature incineration. And it's not as cheap as just putting the contaminated materials in a toxic waste dump and letting it sit there for a few hundred or thousand years. The mid-temperature thermal treatment is being used now. Other dioxin contaminated areas exist, and it's not clear what will be effective and where the money is going to come from. With the Tea Party influencing America political process to an extraordinary extent at the present time, I have some concern as to how much will be able to be done in cleanup in Vietnam, and let alone focusing on the people. Centers for Disease Control is interested in establishing with Vietnamese colleagues at one hospital only, the last I heard, a congenital malefacts or birth defects registry. Okay, what's going on now? We've been able to involve the Hanoi School of Public Health and the Center for Sustainable Agriculture in Hanoi and University of Texas School of Public Health and the National Institutes of Health for funding. Electronic waste, we're all generating it, unfortunately. We all need new iPhones every few years, or new computers, new software, new television sets. And we're getting a huge increase in electronic waste generated worldwide, and it's increasing. Cell phones, televisions, computers, refrigerators. We have an odd situation. The developed countries are sending their electronic waste to less developed countries, including China, India, and Vietnam, but so are the less developed countries producing a huge amount. And there are laws in Vietnam which, as in many countries, are not particularly well enforced. Here are some women sorting plastic. And you see no hand protection, no particular special clothing, and no really good respirator. This just shows personal computer waste generated within Vietnam, personal computers only and generated within Vietnam. Rapid increase. Frequently, this is home-based. This woman is wearing as much in the way of protective clothing as I've seen, and they're exposed to dioxins, flame retardants, and metals. And again, the same kind of health outcomes, endocrine system problems, reproductive developmental alterations, nervous system, immune, cancer, and pregnant women and children near e-waste sites are also at risk for disruptions in fetal and child development. There are a number of studies published, some from China, some from India, one published so far, not from our group, in Vietnam. What we found so far is measuring blood and urine in the workers. We found elevated levels of some metals, arsenic, cobalt, mercury, copper, and zinc. It's not, our sample size is too small to say anything yet, so we're extending it in the next half year. And organics such as brominated flame retardants, PBDEs, have been found. Again, children and a very small child being exposed potentially, and no one is wearing any protective clothing. So what are the conclusions as of today? I wish we had more data, but we're going slower than we had hoped to go. The Vietnamese and Americans have a long-standing interest in Agent Orange spray and exposure, which began in 1962, and the exposure continues through today, to the best of our knowledge. The Vietnamese and U.S. governments and other funding agencies are focusing on cleanup of dioxin hotspots. So those are very small, discrete areas, but high levels of dioxin. There's feeling inside of Vietnam and inside of the United States that the focus has shifted to environmental remediation, and people are not being studied and not enough is being done to help improve the health of people or keep them from being contaminated with TCDD. And we'd like to thank Professor Quan Trung Quynh and his team, the Hanoi School of Public Health, faculty and dean, the Vietnamese Workers and Comparison Populations, Graduate Research Assistant, Will Shropshire, and the National Institutes of Health. Thank you. Are there any questions, comments, criticisms? Actually, amazingly, we're ahead of schedule. We have here some real experts and articulate people, some of whom have spoken so far, and some of whom will be coming up later. So any questions at all should be entertained now. Epidemiology, Dick Clapp.
Well, I'd like to ask about remediation. I was unclear about the demand remediation. It's a very nice sounding phone. But what is the mid-temperature 300 to 1100 degrees centigrade?
Well, it's an experiment. There's impile heating units, and then the soil is dumped on top of it in a certain way. And this method is unlike what's done by toxic waste, at toxic waste incinerators, or state-of-the-art municipal toxic waste or waste incinerators, which have a much higher temperature. And the Vietnamese and USAID convince themselves it's better to not just dump things into a toxic waste site and turn it into a park and monitor it, as was done in Seveso, Italy, because that was the least expensive, but it doesn't really get rid of the dioxins. It can keep it away from people. Long-term monitoring is cheap to start out with. Jean, were you?
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, it's, from what we understood, it's thermal desorption technology, which is relatively new. Mm-hmm. In, I don't know a lot about this, but I know that it does get rid of the dioxin. It's not well understood what's going on. The chemistry's not well understood, but it seems to work. So it's being used and it's relatively inexpensive.
Well, it's somewhat expensive still, and how well it works, we'll see as people give us data. Yes?
A number of questions. It's my understanding, correct me, I'm no expert yet, that there haven't been any peer-reviewed quality clinical epidemiological studies linking the Agent Orange to the birth defects and the cancer and some of these other issues, and particularly like Parkinson's disease, which has been shown suggestively in the military. That's question number one. The other question was, I understand all
Yeah, the first question, I don't think there's a plethora of high quality epidemiology studies from Vietnam on cancer reproductive, but worldwide, both in vivo, in vitro, and human epi studies, I think there's very convincing evidence, even so much comes from the Institute of Medicine publishing a review of the literature. I guess David Tollard is chairing one of those committees right now. David was in the back seat and is at the University of Louisville School of Public Health and heads the Occupational and Environmental Department. I think if you look at the studies that are published every 2 years, not the studies, the review of the literature with conclusions, there's an overwhelming number of studies, some of which are of high quality.
No, I'm sorry, I may have misspoken or not, but I meant in Vietnam.
No, in Vietnam the studies are not strong.
I meant specifically in Vietnam.
No, the studies in Vietnam obviously started in the middle of a war, and they were, and epidemiology is not something with huge expertise in Vietnam, or many other countries for that matter. No, in Vietnam I don't think there are any convincing studies on cancer or birth defects.
The other is that I've been told by two neuroscientists here in Boston that they both feel that it's not just dioxin. In fact, one is really skeptical of dioxin. We know that 2,4-D and 2,4-5-T are toxic in and of themselves, is what I have done from that.
Yeah. No, you're quite right, of course. We found, for example, high level of arsenic in all the people we looked at in this newest, not all the people, no difference, but elevated markedly above U.S. levels. And this was just characteristic of people we looked at in northern Vietnam. And so the mixture of toxic chemicals, we found some brominated flame retardants, which certainly probably partially came from the electronic waste. I mean, these also are toxic because neurologic, fetal, embryonic, perinatal cancer effects. And it's the mixture. Just as we, in our NHANES, say that we can find about 200 chemicals in the general U.S. population, and so we have a mixture effect, which has to be much greater than the reference doses which our agencies used when they were still testing one chemical at a time. I just had a heated argument and discussion with some senior colleagues in an article we're about to, a manuscript we're about to submit, where one person thinks if we start getting into reference doses and how out of date they are, we'll never get ourselves published. Some of the others think we should point out that the reference doses were built on one chemical at a time, and they're pretty out of date now.
Probably should set a logistic effect, I would imagine.
Yeah, with dioxins you get an additive effect, and each of the molecules has a different toxicity, so you measure the amount, you multiply by the toxicity, and it turns out that if you add it up, it's reasonable. Yes, that's a reasonable estimate. Yes, Susan Hammond is going to.
Well, I'm going to talk a bit about some of the questions that you raised already, but I wanted to add on after Dr. Levy's talk earlier, Vietnam, you have to factor in all the other problems of the war in general had put on this population. You have malnutrition, you have people who were exposed to dioxin when they were in their mother's womb, so you have from all ranges of exposure that's very different from our veterans' exposure, and that hasn't been studied and understood very clearly. So while we may not be able to find that smoking gun that says the dioxin did this, it could have been the thing that, on top of all of the environmental impacts of war have in general on human health, that could have been the thing that really put Vietnam over the edge and caused some of these illnesses and birth effects that you see in Vietnam. We don't know.
Well, I think, yeah, we're learning that war can cause a lot of problems. Many. Yes, please.
Do you, from your expertise, do you feel that this is an ongoing issue in terms of, since the chemicals
let me stay away from what's causing which particular illness, because there's so many things that could be involved. But certainly, when I go over and measure in certain areas, food, milk, blood, I can still find some fairly high levels. So this is a persistent, the dioxins are persistent, the brominated flame retardants from our discarded electronics, or Vietnam's discarded electronics. That's going to be around for a long time. And malnutrition, lack of folic acid and so on, everything. And that little boy whose left arm is non-functional, who we saw in from Cambodia, you know, he's got a lot of strikes against him, including survival, getting food, getting good shelter, and so on. Okay, let's call this session to close, and we're going to have Susan Hammond, Dick Clapp. Susan Hammond is one of the absolute top most knowledgeable people I know about what goes on in Vietnam. And Dr. Clapp is one of the world's premier epidemiologists on dioxins from faraway Boston University. And then we have a group of scholars, activists, scientists, who are going to describe from their unique perspective and recent experience in Vietnam some things that may surprise many of us, including me. Thank you very much for attending, and we hope to see you in half an hour. Same room.